then answered her discreet Telemachus. "Stranger, in this you speak with kindness, even as a father to a son. Never shall I forget it. But tarry now, though eager to be gone. Bathe and refresh yourself. Then, glad at heart, turn to your ship, bearing a gift of price and beauty, to be to you a keepsake from myself, even such a thing as dear friends give to friends." Then answered him the goddess, clear-eyed Athena, "Keep me no longer now, when pressing on my way, and any gift your kind heart bids you give, give when I come again, for me to carry home. Choose one exceeding beautiful. Yours, in return, shall be of equal worth." Saying this, clear-eyed Athena passed away, even as a bird, a seahawk, takes its flight. Into his heart she had brought strength and courage, turning his thoughts upon his father, more even than before. As he marked this in his mind, an awe came on him. He perceived it was a god. Straightway he sought the suitors, godlike himself. To them the famous bard was singing, while they in silence sat and listened. He sang of the return of the Achaeans, the sad return which Pallas Athena had appointed them on leaving Troy. Now from her upper chamber there heard this wondrous song the daughter of Icarius, heedful Penelope, and she descended the long stairway from her room, yet not alone, two damsels followed her. And when the royal lady reached the suitors, she stood beside a column of the strong-built roof, holding before her face her delicate wimple, the while a faithful damsel stood upon either hand. Then, bursting into tears, she said to the noble bard, "Phemius, many another tale you know to charm mankind, exploits of men and gods which bards make famous. Sit and sing one of these. The rest drink wine in silence, but cease this song of woe which harrows evermore the soul within my breast, because on me has fallen grief not to be appeased. So dear a face I miss, ever remembering one whose fame is wide through Hellas and mid Argos.